Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. Well, we're looking forward to sharing some things a little different at the same time as the unseen realm that we've been talking about. Like I mentioned, it'll weave itself through almost everything that we do. Well, you would understand that by our first reason for doing these videos, and that is that God would become real to you. So in other words, the unseen realm becoming more real and tangible to your life. Number two, so that you would get answers to your prayers. And number three, so that you would be able to share your testimonies with others. So today, really, as I'm sharing, even though I'll share a grace testimony, the whole message is kind of a grace testimony. And so if you'd like to, you can turn over in your Bibles. Let's see, we can go over here to Matthew in chapter 14. And we'll get there in a few minutes. But I'll start out by saying this. This is a real interesting story that we have, and it's going to be a grace story of what God was doing with me as I was studying one day. So before we get into that, I'll just give you the prelude. Before we get into that, let's go right back to Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 to 30 in the Message Bible, which is the invitation of Jesus to our hearts to have a relationship with the Father God as real and as tangible and as incredibly successful with testimonies as Jesus was. Well, it says in the Message Bible, verse 27 to 30, Matthew 11, "Now Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does, but I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly." Well, I love it just as much to speak those words as I have the very first time I ever read them. What a wonderful and amazing opportunity to experience God. And you know that Jesus wants us to have this. He was the one speaking. So that means the Holy Ghost will help you every step of the way to have the tangibility and the clarity and the focus like Jesus did with his Father, to experience God in that most amazing way that Jesus did when he was on the earth. Well, so this is where the story comes in. And I was in my Bible program on my computer. Excuse me again. I was in my Bible program on my computer, and I was studying the word fasting. So I put in the word, of course, if you understand, F-A-S-T-I-N-G. I mean, you can just see how your fingers do it. I don't know if you've ever, you know, kind of saw your fingers typing out words while you were listening to somebody or you were writing down things, but sometimes that happens. So my fingers went perfectly to the word F-A-S-T-I-N-G, and I hit the send button, and what came up on my computer was believe. And I thought, this is interesting. I put in fasting. I'm sure I did. So I exited out and did it again. F-A-S-T, a little more deliberate, I-N-G, send. And what came up was believe. And we know believe in the, of course, in the Greek word, and I've got some of that right in here. It actually has the word pistis. And of course, it talks all about that. And this was in the vines that I was doing this. And I thought to myself, I didn't put in believe. Well, I may be a little slower than you. I probably should have caught on right then, but I exited out, and this time I went real slow. F-A-S-T-I-N-G, send, and believe came up. And this time I just said, excuse me, outward. I said, "Lord, you're messing with my computer. What's going on?" And at that point, then I decided, well, obviously he's not going to let me go anywhere else. He wants me to read what's in Vine's expository concerning the word believe. And so now I'm going to read to you what came up on my computer. It says, even more often, this, meaning the word believe, stem connotes a psychological or mental certainty, as in Job 29:24, that said, if I laughed on them, they believed it not. Considering something to be trustworthy is an act of full trusting or believing. This is the emphasis in the first biblical occurrence in Genesis 15, verse 6, where it says, and Abram believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. In other words, he accredited unto him as righteousness. Now notice this, because up to that point, all of that was kind of a little bit fuzzy. Of course, I knew for certain the scripture in Genesis 15, 6, talking about Abram, and he was questioning God, how do I know that I'm going to have an heir in my house and that Eliezer from Damascus is not my heir? And then he went on to the Lord said to him, go outside and see if you can number the stars. So shall your descendants be. And then in verse 6, it says, and Abram believed in the Lord, and God accredited unto him for righteousness. Well, notice what it now says, which then became to me the reason why I'm reading this. The meaning here is that Abram was full of trust and confidence in God, and that he did not fear him. Verse 1. It was not primarily in God's words that he believed, but in God himself. And all of a sudden I stopped there and said, wait, what's it saying? It was not primarily, meaning Abraham's belief was not just in words that were spoken to him, or even the meaning of the words that were spoken to him. His belief was primarily in the encounter with God himself. I know that I was, in order to come out here to Colorado, sitting in my car at a stoplight at Garnett and 101st. It was 11 years ago, 2011, on Mother's Day weekend, where Erin was with some of her friends down in Clearwater, Florida for Mother's Day. And I was Mr. Mom, of course, with the girls there in Tulsa, Oklahoma, or Broken Arrow. And I'm at that light going home, and it's a red light, so I'm stopped, foot on the brake, and all of a sudden an audible voice said to me, I want you to go to the Denver, Colorado area and start a work. Now, it was as audible as me listening to my voice right now. And I turned around and looked in my car and I said, Lord, I know that's you. What did you say again? And the voice said, I want you to go to the Denver, Colorado area. So he wasn't saying go to the city. He was saying there's an area close to Denver, and I want you to start a work. Now, the moment he said work, I was conscious that he didn't say start a church. That doesn't mean someday possibly the Lord wouldn't say that, but he didn't say that then. And when I heard him the third time say that, it not only settled down in my heart or spirit what the Lord was telling me to do, but instantly I began to see a bigger picture of what he wanted me to do. And I realized that this was the last phase of our ministry, and that he wanted me to start a work. Well, as I began to meditate on that, one of my friends, I was talking to him up in New Hampshire, and I mentioned what the Lord said, and he said, now, wait a minute, what did the Lord say to you? He said, I want you to start a work. He said, that's fascinating, because a work is not a church. And I said, yes, I kind of see that, but what do you mean? He said, I've been on this for some time, and he said, in the scriptures, he said, there is a work which is more far-reaching, or there is a church which is more centralized or local. And he said, the Lord's not asking you to start a church. I said, I know, but everybody I tell says you're going to be a pastor. And so that's what the Lord spoke to me. Now, even here 11 years later, and we're starting this healing center, it is up and going, even though it's still very much in its infancy, although I see it the way the Lord put it in my heart, with hundreds of people coming every week to be healed and set free, and with us having a laboratory attached to it to be able to prove the results of what Jesus is doing and bringing such a consciousness not only to Christianity but to the world that God loves them and wants to touch them. At this juncture where I'm at, What holds me steadfast is not that he said, I want you to start a work, more so than it was him that spoke to me. And so I fully understand what this is saying. And the Lord gave me this to help me. Notice what it says again. It was not primarily in God's words that he believed, but in God himself. It goes on to say, nor does the text tell us that Abram believed God so as to accept what he said as true and trustworthy. Meaning Abram didn't put his stock in the one that was telling him so that he could believe or have trust in what he said. You would think that's the way that it is. But it simply goes on to say, but simply that he believed in God. And it finishes with this. In other words, Abram came to experience a personal relationship to God rather than an impersonal relationship with his promises. Did you hear what it said in Vine's expository? It said that what God said or his promise was an impersonal relationship. And you understand that more today than ever, because people say all kinds of things they don't mean. And so the things that are said are not as personal as the person that's actually saying it. And if your relationship to what someone said is greater to the words being spoken than it is to the person that's actually speaking them, that's where you'll trust what was said, miss the fact of whom it came from, and then be in a frustration as to why didn't it work. Well, it's because they've never done what they've said. They've always backed out to their commitment. Oh, I should have figured that out. That's right. That's right. That's right. Three times they backed out on me. I should have been more skeptical as to what was said because of who said it. Yes. Why wouldn't you think? And so I love this because it shows us that God being real and the encounter with him is the primary belief system in your heart. And if in your heart, your primary belief are the words that he's spoken in the Bible and not God himself, who had men to pen those scriptures and inspired men to write it, then you are missing the point. Let that sink in for a moment and then listen to what Jesus said, how he spoke to the, and the Message Bible, I like it best. It said to the Pharisees, he said, you're literally got your nose in the Bible and you think eternal life is in the Bible. And yet I'm the one the Bible leads you to. I stand here in the flesh and you disregard that it's me who you read about in the book. And folks, what does that say? But it's possible for you to read the Bible incorrectly and not find God in what you read, but find theology and doctrine, and therefore you find frustration because you're supposed to find God in everything you read, everything you pray, what you profess and confess, the way you worship God and lift up your hands when you pray in other tongues. You should be walking away with a greater reality of God himself and not just the extremity of the experience. I know John Lake made comments about this and he talked about this revival and that revival and they wanted to stamp it healing alone and then they wanted to stamp it and say that it was a tongues movement or it was a joy movement. And he said each one of those movements began to get less and less and less of the importance and the fullness of that movement until they dwindled away. He said that that mean God dwindled away and he was no longer there. And John Lake said, no, that wasn't the cause. But the reason why it dwindled away is because they put their focus on the benefit and not the benefactor. They didn't put their focus on God himself and have a relationship with him. They just were touched with the benefits of God himself. That is a message for us. Even today. And I want you to know that this actually was a grace story because all of a sudden I had to look at this and come to terms with what it was saying, which was something that I was already understanding through my prayer time, but I needed the backing of scripture to back it up. Even this, it goes on a little further to say thus. In Exodus 4:9, the meaning is, if they do not believe in view of the two signs, rather, if they do not believe these two signs at all. The focus is on the act of believing, not the trustworthiness of the signs. When God is the subject or the object of the verb, the Septuagint most always renders the stem as amen or pistuo, to believe, and its composites. In other words, just going right back to the point that the emphasis is on you having experience with God himself. And as a result, what he said becomes the most normal, natural, to be expected thing to happen, because what was said comes from the person you had an experience and you learned to trust in. Wow, this is really, really, really good. Folks, this is better than good. This is great. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and read you the story. We'll come back and have one more experience here with this particular grace story about typing in fasting and getting on my computer the word believe. God messing with my computer. You say, is it possible for God to mess with a computer? Well, I'll tell you what, this will be the grace story today, and tomorrow I'll read you the one that's in front of me. I remember little Tatiana, one of the girls that was watching the radio show with my friend BJ and I, The Abiding Presence, years ago. And if you want those radio show archives, you can go to the ministry, Jim Hockaday Ministries website, and they're all free and downloadable. There's 266 archives. Awesome. And she was listening, and it was just simple enough, even for an 8-year-old, to grab a hold of God and let him be so real to her that he was real, and she had testimonies because of the reality of God. Folks, that speaks very, very, very highly of what we've just been saying today. God's supposed to be real. What's the one reason why we're doing these videos? For him to be real in your life. The more real he is, the easier it is to get answers to your prayers. And here she goes to a friend's house, and the friend says, hey, I want you to watch this movie. And the TV was on, and Tatiana lifted up her eyes and just within her own heart, without saying anything outward, said, you know, God, I just want to go to the park and find more of you. And the moment she prayed that little prayer, the TV turned off and the little girl could not get the remote to come back on. At the same time, Grandma comes from the back of the house, not hearing anything, peeks her head in the little living room and says, girls, I've got a great idea. Let's go to the park. And little Tatiana lifted up her eyes and just said thank you to Grace. Why? She had learned to let God become real. And therefore, when she prays things, she gets answers. Especially when it's a prayer that is concerning with the furtherance of your relationship with God. Oh, folks, take this to heart. Listen to this again if you have to, because it's so good and so important. Well, I encourage you to go to Adventures in Grace YouTube channel and subscribe and bring other people there. You can always go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and follow us. But for sure, get our email, which is jhmi@jimhockaday.com, that you find on our website, and write us your grace stories of what God's doing in your life so we can share that with others. I'm telling you, God is so real and he wants to bless you today, tomorrow, and forever. See you next time.